welcome to the Poem of the Week. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Doing great, Mike. How are you?
Good. I've got a question for you. If something with two sides is bi, and something with three sides is tri, like a triangle, and something with four sides is quad, what do you call something with nine sides?
No.
Or maybe multi-sided or something. No, Latin is novum. We'll come back to that in a second. Just a little bit of background here about HPV. And this is sort of a new guy in the past 10 years or so. We currently think that HPV causes virtually all cancer of the cervix and a huge percentage of anal cancers. There are all these different numbers in carcinogenic type 16 and 18, which are sort of the major targets of HPV vaccine, are thought to cause about 75% of all cervical cancers and about the same number of anal cancers. And then there's a bunch of other numbers. There are five other types. I'll just say them to show off here, but 31, 33, 45, 52, and 58, they're collectively thought to cause about 19% of invasive cervical cancers. You got two types, 6 and 11, that cause about 90% of genital warts. So why am I telling you all of this? Well, there are these...
Why are you telling us all this, Mike?
Well, because we're getting to the poem, and there are all of these different valent vaccines. There's a quadrivalent vaccine that includes the major types, and there's a relatively new nine-valent vaccine. That gets to the idea of novum, although they're not calling it novum. But a nine-valent vaccine marketed by Gardasil, it includes all of the major serotypes. And the question is, you know, it is not going to surprise listeners that it's more expensive than the two-type or the four-type. And the question is it really any better? So you found an article from the New England Journal of Medicine. You've done a poem on it. It was published in 2015. Starts on the volume is 372, and it starts on page 711. The question is the nine-valent HPV vaccine really more effective than the quadrivalent vaccine? Mark, complicated study. What do they find, and how confident are we in their findings?
Oh man, this was a complicated study, and you know, there were definitely some pros, but I think the differences overall were relatively small, and then it becomes a judgment call of whether that's worth it. So I think that's something our listeners have to think about. So yeah, this was industry funded study, and they wanted to compare the nine valent with the older quadrivalent vaccine. And so they did it in two stages. First stage, they took about 1,200 women, and they tried three different doses of this vaccine, plus they had a control group of the quadrivalent, in order to find the best dose that was most, you know, immunogenic. And so after they did that, they figured out the right dose, and then they randomized another 13,600 women to get the optimal dose of the nine-valent, or the comparison was quadrivalent. They were mostly young women, 16 to 26. It was a multi-center study all over the world. And the study was powered to see if there was a difference in rates of abnormality that were covered or caused by the five subtypes not covered by the quadrivalent. So they actually said they didn't power it to compare the two directly, just the five not in the quadrivalent with, you know, just looking at that subset. So it's already complicated, right? So the main analysis that they reported was per protocol, which was only those people who got all three immunizations within 1 year and who were HPV-free at the beginning of the study and had no protocol violation. So this is, you know, the optimal, perfect, best possible, and doesn't happen in the real world. I mean, we know that about two-thirds of women never complete the series. We know that many women are already have had HPV at the before they start the series. So, you know, this is kind of an optimal. So what I'm going to focus on more is what they call the modified intention to treat that included all those women that had at least one dose of the vaccine, which is, I think, more realistic. About half the participants were HPV positive at baseline. So that's important. fact. Half of them had HPV exposure already. Primary outcome was the rate of a high-grade cervical, vulvar, or vaginal disease caused by one of those new or additional, I should say, five subtypes. And they found that that rate was lower with the nine-valent than in the quadrivalent, which makes sense. The quadrivalent doesn't address those. There may be some cross-reactivity, but the nine-valent, which specifically has those five subtypes, there were 0.1 versus 1.6 per 1,000-person years cases of a high-grade lesion. So about 1.5 fewer for every 1,000 women of those specific lesions. No difference between groups with respect to the original four HPV subtypes. And when you looked at the overall incidence of the primary outcome between groups, it was also similar, 14 versus 14. When you consider the subgroup of women who were not infected, the half who weren't infected at baseline, they had a significant reduction in the incidence of HPV, about 2.4 versus 4.2 cases per 1,000 person years. And in particular, most of that benefit was from those subtypes that were not in the quadrivalent vaccine. So it does appear to have a slight decrease in the number of cases of these five types of HPV, subtypes of HPV not covered by the original vaccine. Overall adverse effects were generally similar, but there was actually some more moderate to severe pain or swelling with the nine-valent. You had more immunogenicity, more irritation, if you will. And serious events were similar, though. And so basically, you know, kind of doing the math here, you would expect you'd have to immunize at least 160 women with the new vaccine to prevent one high-grade lesion over about a three-year period. There might be more benefit if you, you know, look for a longer period forward. Maybe more cases would accrue. And I think the only, you know, I think the positive thing, so there's a small benefit. And when I looked at the costs online, there really isn't much difference between the two. One is 162 and one is 146. So it's not too different, you know, per dose there.
So that's the 162 and the 146, that's per dose, so you'd have to multiply that by three for the total series. You said that patients were, at least the group that didn't have infection, were followed for 60 months, 5 years, and you said that the primary outcome was high-grade cervical, vulvar, or vaginal disease. I just wonder if 5 years is enough. I mean, we know that cervical cancer is a sort of a slow-growing thing. You did mention that perhaps there'd be more if we waited longer, but it's a bummer that you got to wait longer because you want the answer, but it just seems to me, I hope that they've continuing to follow them prospectively.
Yeah, they didn't indicate whether or not they were. You would hope so, and you would hope that perhaps the FDA would be, you know, requiring them to do that kind of a longer-term follow-up. You know, I guess I'm encouraged by the fact that the harm was modest. There was some benefit, and the incremental cost is, you know, relatively modest. I mean, I think you could, you know, somebody could say, look, this isn't that much better, but I don't know that it's really even going to be an option, frankly, going forward. I think that's what Gardasil is going to be selling is the nine-valent vaccine, and they just had to get it approved by CDC. I kind of would be surprised if they would continue to sell the older one now that they have this one.
Nice job. It was a difficult study to talk through quickly, and you were very clear. Thank you very much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.